today we're going to go back to the strong man. What's his name and what's his game? And we're just going to talk today on the spirit of fear. And I feel like we all have at some point in our life, every one of the spirits that the demonic spirits that are mentioned in the Word of God, that's the ones we're teaching on. Those are the things that we can come against because Jesus, oh man, I love that song that we sang this morning. Jesus, if we get that revelation that he overcame and that he sent to us the keys to the kingdom, and he said, you can pray like this. You can, if you believe and you pray, then I am going to answer your prayers. And when we understand that, this is not condemnation, what I'm preaching. This is just opening up so you can say, aha, devil, I understand what you're trying to do in my life. Well, the spirit of fear is something that I believe that when I was just a very young child, very, very young, began to take over my life. And because I had so much anxiety, so much fear in my life, by the time I was probably 8, 9 years old, I probably had ulcers. I don't know for sure, but I've always had a nasty stomach. I was nauseous a lot. It's been something that that all my life, I was anxious and fearful. And so, you know, when we begin to teach this and we begin to learn, and we learn the things that some of it's generational, some of it is circumstantial, some of it is because we've opened doors ourselves. There's no condemnation in it. It's wisdom. It's to show us what the enemy, how he does things. And you know what? He comes in so easily and he does it so sneaky like. But when we understand symptoms and when we know what we're fighting against, we can begin to, as the revelation comes, we can begin to stand against that. So I'm going to just tell you a few of the symptoms or the characteristics of fear, the fear and phobias. There's torment and there's horror. You know, there's just that feeling that everything's wrong. You have that high panic. Has anybody ever had a panic attack? They're horrible. They're terrible. You can't breathe. You can't, you know, you just feel like there's no hope. It's a terrible, terrible feeling to have panic attacks. People have heart attacks because of fear that will try to get you so badly that you'll have a heart attack and die. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we understand what his tactics are, we can stand in the Word of God and we can say, uh-huh. Now, stay with me for a little bit here, okay? Fear of death. Some people fear death. There are nightmares. A lot of people have nightmares. It's a spirit of fear. Have terrors, have anxiety, have stress. If you are having unusual anxiety and unusual stress, it is caused by a spirit of fear. And God says that we are delivered from the fears of the enemy. Fear of man, untrusting. Do you have a hard time trusting? If you've ever been hurt real bad, you probably do. You know, you may have a lot of doubt in your mind. Is this really God? Is this really true? Does the Bible really mean what it says? That doubt comes from a spirit of fear. I really believe that God spoke to Pastor Darrell and I, and I believe that he's telling us, he wants to remind his church again of our authority as believers. Because, see, we have authority as believers. But if we don't walk in that authority, then inroads, we leave doors open because sometimes it's just because we don't know. Other times it's because we've just let everything crowd out the Word of God. But we're into a new year, and God is going to be speaking. He is speaking to his people, and he's trying to speak really loudly. But we have got to stop, and we've got to listen. So we must take a stand. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. All of us, we know the scripture. We've heard it over and over. We teach it to our children. Because you know what? The first thing that the enemy loves to do once they get past that 2-year-old and they want everybody else's everybody else's toys. Everything's mine. No, mine. Did you notice how they did that? You didn't have to teach them to do that, did you? That is the most astounding thing to me, how a nine-month-old can climb around and that's his toy. That's mine. You can't touch it. How easily that happens. Well, that's just as easily as how fear will begin to torment them. They'll think there's something under their bed. There's something in the closet. There's something, you know, they get these naturally almost. But we got to understand, see, we got to work from the day that we conceive to begin to speak over that baby and begin to tell them what the Word of God says about them. And we've got to speak over those babies, those little ones, when the enemy is coming and trying so hard to come against their lives. We say what the Word says. But one of the first scriptures we say is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and intimidation, right? But a power and of love and a sound mind. Now, this is what God gives us. He gives us power. He gives us the spirit of power. He gives us the spirit of love. And he gives us a sound mind. Those are gifts from God. But the enemy always wants to bring that spirit of fear and intimidation to us. And he starts very early in our lives. So all of us, probably every person here, has somewhere in your life you had to deal with the spirit of fear. And there are some because we have allowed his influence to continue in our life. When I got a revelation, I'm gonna share some of that with you in just a little bit of who he is. Boy, it changed me when I understood who was coming against me. And I understood who I am. In Christ, not in myself, but in Christ. And we have to get to the place where strongholds of fearful thoughts are not tormenting us. If you're one of those persons, well, what if? You need to get rid of your what if. We need to get rid of those what ifs, because that is not how God operates. Because, of course, there can be suggestions from the enemy that says, well, what if that don't work out? What if the Word of God isn't going to work in you this time? Then what is your response supposed to be? And tell him, said, oh, but this is what the Word of God says about my healing. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Even though my body might not feel healed, it doesn't change the word that he says that I am the healed. It doesn't matter if the doctor tells me that there's only a chance of 1 in 100 that I could survive the surgery. What really matters is that I know that one with God is for me, not against me. We have got to stop our negative thinking because it comes from the enemy. But when we begin to know what the Word of God says about us, we grab that. We take hold of that. And we begin to say it as if it's for us. Well, it is. I begin to say, the little Shunammite woman, my goodness, they put her in the Bible for me. When I got hold of that scripture and I understand that her baby was laying dead in her arms, but she never forgot the promise of God. And so she knew that all she had to do was get to the promiser. And if we understand that all we got to do is get to the healer, the deliverer, the salvationer, if we can get to him, then we can have those things that we ask of him. But we have to have revelation for that to happen. And so we're praying that revelation so gets, it doesn't matter how hard the enemy fights. I wore that all as well out. But I could see it out there. I could see it. It wasn't a lie. I had one of my daughters said to me, I know all is well. I know all is well. But what? How are you really? That's how I really am. That's how I really am. Because my promise that he gave me, he didn't take it away. So it's still real for us today. Amen. A spirit of fear is at work when our spiritual energy is affected. If you feel your spiritual energy, now there's one thing of being physically tired. And it's something else when your spirit man gets weary. Because when that happens, that means that the fear and doubt can begin to come in. I warn you to be careful about getting too physically tired. But when you don't feel like picking up your Bible and reading it, listen to it, or it'll read itself to you. But we are blessed in this day and time. You just put that Bible on and you just push it and it'll read to you. Just push, read, it'll read. When you don't have the strength, let the word of God or let a song of praise and worship go over and over. Or if there's just one scripture you can hang on to it. That's how we fight back. Fear will choke out our faith, our joy, our peace, and our love. It will bind and tries to paralyze us and weaken the Christian, tries to soften us up so that we're vulnerable to the influence of other spirits. Do you know fear can't work by itself? It never works by itself, but it works with other spirits. And we're going to show you a little bit. Some of the things, and I will say in my own life, spirit of fear worked with a spirit of infirmity in my life, a spirit of heaviness that brought depression in my life. It can cause many kinds of sicknesses. It's the negative faith that the enemy tries to bring. Faith in that symptom, faith in that situation, faith in that relationship that's failing, faith in that child that seems like they're not listening and they're so far out, faith in the fact that it seems like that relationship can never be fixed. It's unfixable. But that is not faith in my God that can do the impossible. Why would I say that God can do the impossible? Why would I sing that if I don't believe it? Do we believe what we're saying? Do we believe what the Word of God says about us? You get a group of people that pray, and you get a group of people that begin to say what the Word of God says. There's no limit to what God can do in this house and in your families and in your children, in your businesses, in your life. Totally turn around where you're at right now. Revelation 21:8. If we're believing what the devil says more than God's word, fear is reigning in our life. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. King James says, instead of cowardly, says fearful. But the fearful, the unbelieving, that's not us, right? That is not who we, that may have been who we were. We've all probably been a little bit of that and a whole lot of that in our past, but that's not who we are now. There's a fear that the Bible talks about that we should have, and we know that. It's a positive force in our life, a reverence, a respect for the Lord that we have. So when you have the fear of the Lord, it means you reverence him. I'm not going to reverence the devil. I'm not going to honor the devil with fear in my life. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. We honor him. We reverence him. He is the final word. He's the final say in our life. I respect fire. I respect wind. I respect horses. I love horses, and I used to love to ride them, but I respect them. I respect cars. I respect electricity. That's why that you're waiting to find out what the breaker box is, because you respect electricity, right? Amen. We respect some things. But what I respect most of all is God. So we obey the laws of those things that we respect. The first appearance of fear was in the garden. Interesting, isn't it? After Adam and Eve had sinned. Genesis 3:10, God says, or Adam says, after God called to him, he called out to Adam. And Adam, when he said, where are you? And then Adam spoke. He said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I sinned. I feared, so I hid. there's a relationship between sin and fear. Isn't that interesting? Because the enemy, when we sin, we get afraid we'll be found out. There's that fear. That's not from God. That's the enemy tormenting us now for what we have done. So there's a relationship. The sinner has a right to be fearful because he's walking into disobedience to God. And it's open season for the destroyer to pick him up, pick him off. You know, the enemy loves it when we sin. When we leave the door open, and unrepented sin allows the enemy to bring other things, to bring judgment against us and judgment against our life. Because he goes for the push. It's time for us to go for the push. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Notice how your kids act when they've done something wrong. And they know that you know something, but they're not quite sure if you know what they did wrong. Interesting, you know, because they're super innocent and they'll get real lovey-dovey, right? God, you know I love you. You know I shouldn't have done that, but I got too much pride to admit that I'm wrong yet. But that's what our kids do. You know, they know something's up. They know that mom and dad, something's not just right here. And so they try really hard, you know, to make things right. Or they'll get real rebellious. Isn't it interesting how we act with God when we sin and everybody else? We get real rebellious. We don't act right. We don't talk right. We talk out, you know, we just say everything that the enemy would like for us to say. We can't say anything good. Notice that before Adam and Eve, before sin, there was no fear. No fear whatsoever. They made such a mess that only Jesus could fix it. Aren't you thankful? Oh my goodness, we should be so thankful for Jesus. We should be so excited every time we think about the fact that he fixed what could not be fixed for us because we needed it fixed so bad. 1 John 4:18. Oh, what a good verse this is. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Took me a long time to understand this scripture. It just baffled me a lot. I'm just honest with you. For many years, I was like, there is no fear in love. Perfect love. I don't know how to have perfect love. That perfect love will drive out the fear because I have so many fears. How do I handle this? But when I got a revelation that I didn't have to do anything except the perfect love because he loves me perfectly. And I can love him with a heart that says, I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful. It's that perfect love that he loves us in that casts out the fear of the enemy trying to destroy our lives. 1 John 4, verse 18, 19. I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible. We need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows us that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. In other words, we're wrestling with that thing. We don't know that we're perfectly loved by him. Are there any people in this building? I believe you're here today. You don't know how perfectly God loves you. Because when we get that settled that he loves us perfectly, then we can be like, it's not by my works because I can't get it right. It's not by my works, but it's by his grace. And that grace makes me want to do right. That grace is not to make me sin when I'm sinful. Even though it's there, that grace means that I can walk it out with him. It's by his grace that I'm saved. The last part of that. So you see, our love for him comes as a result of him loving us first. Isn't that exciting news? When I got a revelation that he loves me so much, that's perfect. And I don't have to wonder anymore, any more than I do that I've received the fact that when I pray, I have an audience with him. He listens to me and he listens to you. But do you know that he does? Do you understand that he wants to hear your petitions? He wants you to bring everything, big and small, to him. He knows it anyway, but he gives you that choice. You can bring it to him, or he can just have to watch. I don't believe that everyone that experiences fear is in sin. That's not what I'm saying. But I believe that fear should never take a child of God prisoner in their mind. Because fear is a trespasser. And if you've lived with fear, it is a trespasser. It robs you of every good thing. The battlefield is in the mind. We need to remember that. And the enemy tries to get us to recognize his negative thoughts over and over again until our thoughts are holding us in captivity. He wants us to rehearse them. He wants us to say that non-biblical thought and scripture that we got from the devil over and over in our mind. You're not going to make it this time. You've just sank too low. There's no way God's going to ever bless you. There's no way that you're ever going to have peace. There's no way that you're ever going to see the goodness of God in your life because your life is such a mess. Lies, lies, lies. You and I, through the Word of God, we can refuse to take fear by pulling down the strongholds and bringing our thoughts into captivity. Isn't it interesting that Paul said that we would pull down those strongholds, that we can do it through the Word of God. We can do it with our mouth, those strongholds that try to get hold of my mind and get me to thinking of things in the middle of the night that are not honoring. They're not right thoughts. And we begin to pull them down with the Word of God and say, devil, I understand what you're doing, but I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace of Christ operating in my life. The phrase fear not appears in one form or another 365 times in the Bible. The Word of God says, no, I don't want you to fear. I don't want you to have to be afraid. In the peace of calamity, I'm there. In times where it doesn't look like things are ever going to change, I'm there. I'm with you. So fear not. Phobias, nightmares, sickness, death, worry, excessive timidity, stress, psychological complexes, heart attacks are all the attempts of the evil one to steal from humanity. We have to recognize them. I've told this before, and if you've read the book, Miracle of the Breaking, you've read this story, but I want to tell it this morning. I had so many fears in my life. Been saved all of my life. I don't remember when I got saved. I just loved Jesus. I just remember being a young girl praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I just loved him. But that didn't mean that the enemy won't try to come and try to destroy you, because that's what he does. He's a destroyer. We were traveling on the road, and I'll never forget, we were in the state of Texas. And I had a dream. And I was sitting in a forest. You know, there's some dreams that I you know are spiritual, and there's reasoning behind them. And there's been others I've had dreams where I've said, God, I think the mind is protected. I don't ever want to dream that again. I've had to do that in my life also. But I knew this was a dream that God wanted me to remember because it had to do with my life. I didn't understand it at the time. But now, through life, I understand. And I was probably maybe 30 years old, probably 28, 29 years old at the time. And it was this dream. I was in this big wooded place, and it was dark. It was so dark, and the tree was so big that I was sitting by. I was sitting at the trunk of a tree, and when I was sitting there, there was this huge snake that would go around and around me. And this snake, I don't know where it came from. I just know I was sitting there facing out of the forest. It was a big canopy over me of darkness. And as I sat there, I believe that the snake was probably a python. I didn't know much about pythons at that time. I just knew it was a huge snake. And the snake would go around this tree. And this tree was so big, it was huge. And when he would cross my body, I was paralyzed, literally terrified. I was so paralyzed. And then when his tail would move off of me, for a few minutes, I felt like I could breathe. But it was, or seconds. And it didn't take very long because he was so big. And he would go around that huge tree and he would come back and he'd go right across my lap, right across my lap. He did that several times. And every time he got to me, I just froze. And after about, I don't know how many times, but he would come and he got a little closer. And eventually he started kissing me on the cheek. He began to kiss me. It went to such terror. I was paralyzed. I knew I was paralyzed. And he did that several times. But in those moments that he was going around and he was not on me, all of a sudden faith began to rise up within me. And this is what God reminds me of so many times when the enemy tries to bring fear or tries to destroy. And I would encourage you with this today, because this is how the devil works on us. This is his plan. He wants to paralyze you so much that the authority that Jesus has given you through his death, burial, and resurrection, the enemy doesn't want you to use that. He wants you to stay paralyzed in that spot. And he wants to keep on until he takes all the breath out of you. Because eventually, that is what he's after. Because he wants to destroy. But after a few times and sitting there and those few brief moments of sanity that I would have, all of a sudden, as he went around, and I was so disgusted, I was so miserable, I was panicking so bad. But I stood to my feet. I jumped up. I don't know how I did it, but in my dream, I jumped up. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you loose me and you stop it in Jesus' name. And I ran just as hard as I can. I could see a path that took me out to the edge of that forest. And I ran and I could hear that thing followed me. I could hear his noise. And I kept running. And all of a sudden, I saw people. They were coming into that forest. And I'd yell and I'd say, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Turn around. Go up back. You don't want to go there. And I just kept on running. And I ran to the edge of that forest. And just as I stepped out, he touched the back of my heel. He only touched it. But I knew it was him. But I knew that God had took me from a place of being paralyzed to giving me a voice that says that the enemy cannot destroy us if we know who we are in Christ. And inside of every one of us, there is resurrection power. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. And we have the authority to take over ourselves because we're the biggest enemy of all. But we have to see the value. The enemy has tried many things. Heart problems. Stomach. Many things through the years. But I go back to what God said, what God did over and over and over again. We go back to the Word of God. We're living in a time when we can see all around that this is a time for the Church of Jesus Christ to get on its feet. We've hunkered long enough. Remember Job. He opened the door by his own words, as we've all done. He said, for the thing that I greatly feared is coming upon me. And that which I was afraid of is coming to me, Job 3:25. When Satan asked for an opportunity before God to come against Job's life, Job's words snared him and allowed legal entry. See, we don't understand how powerful that our words are. The door, open door of fear. But then Satan was not allowed to touch his life. God still restricted Job. Aren't you glad for grace? And that was before the dispensation of grace. So see, God watches over. He watches over our lives. And I'm so thankful for that. He said, you can't take his life. And when Job got his thinking straightened out, God returned the captivity of Job into his life. Job 42:10 says that Job prayed for his friends, and the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. I'm telling you what, we spend too much time on ourselves. We need to pray for other people. We need to let the word of God be our guide. We need to say what it says, and we need to get busy praying for other people because they need us to pray for them, because we're living in a world that is full of turmoil. After Job prayed, Bible scholars tell us that his trouble was really only about 9 months, but it seemed like, I mean, a lot can happen in 9 months. Yeah, that was rough stuff that Job went through. That was no picnic. But he won the victory over fear. And he understood the faithfulness of God more than he ever had. He knew God was faithful. But when you're going through something and you come out on the other side, you know the faithfulness of God even more than you ever had it before. After that trial of faith, the word of God shows us that he had over 140 years of peace and prosperity and a beautiful family. What the enemy has planned for you, it's not the end story. It's not over yet. God's always got a good plan for his people. Do you know that fear will keep you from showing love in relationships? Remember that 1 John 4:18 that we talked about, that perfect love casts out fear. Also remember that fear casts out love. Fear casts out love. When we're fearful, it casts out love. We have to be careful when we're dealing with fear that we don't allow other manifestations in our lives or other spiritual influences. The spirit of fear is a weak, wimpy, shivering spirit that's afraid that you won't take his suggestion. The Lord, let me see a spirit of fear. Literally, let me see it. I believe it was an open vision of a little old wimpy spirit that was bringing his news and trembling that I wouldn't take it. Because he has to go back and he has to go get some others to help him out. And he has to report to the big guy. You got to understand what's coming against you is only sent out to torment you and hopes that you don't know the word well enough to come against it. But there's going to be some reckoning here. Let's read Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 16. Can we put those up? This is all about that that's which has been bothering you. How are you fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning? You've been thrown down to the earth, who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods, far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Instead, you need to tell the devil, instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead and down to its lowest depths. Everyone there will stare at you and ask, can this be the one? Can this be the one that shook the heaven and made the kingdom of the world tremble? That's the devil. That's the enemy that the Word of God is talking about. Are you the one that's been bringing so much havoc on my life and on my children's life? Are you the one that was there and you've fallen down? You're a fallen angel. Are you the one? Church, can we get a revelation of the one and of who he is? I want to encourage you to push through this. I want to encourage you that everything that is coming against you, if you're in this house today, we're going to ask the worship team when you can to come on up. I want to encourage you to be careful of critical spirits. Don't be critical. Stop your being critical of other people, because you know when we're critical, we are inviting other spirits to come in, not just one spirit. But when we don't take care of the house, when we don't pull down the strongholds, when we don't take authority over the enemy, when we don't do that, the enemy will come against us. And he'll begin to get a troop together. He will begin to align powers of darkness against us. See, he's got an army. And he wants to bring you down more than anything. We have to be careful with fear, because a person dealing with fear will turn his thoughts on himself. What if this isn't going to work? What if I don't make it? And become introverted. It's all about me all of a sudden. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I think. It's never about what we want and what we think. Never. We need to change that today. Because if we make it about ourselves, we're going to live a very small, small, miserable life. But when we make it about him and his will, then our life begins to expand. It begins to grow. Because if we turn introverted too much, we'll begin to control others. I encourage you to push yourself through if this is you. Help your loved ones to come out if they're being influenced with the spirit. Because we've all been influenced by different spirits. But Jesus came to give us life, because that's not life. That's bondage. We can't love our husbands, our wives, our children, or anyone else with complete abandonment unless fear has been dealt properly within our lives. We've got to come against the spirit of fear. I believe that if I had not dealt with the spirit of fear in my life, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. There's no way. There's no way that when you're paralyzed, that you can be what God wants you to be. And everything that's come against you to stop being who you are, because you're beautiful. You're strong. You're handsome. God's got good plans for you. He got a good future for you. Never say I'm too old or I'm too young. It's he that does the calling. It's he that puts in us what we need to go forward. Don't compare yourself with someone else. God didn't make you anybody but you, because you are the very best of everything that you need to be. The very best when he's working in and through you. Psalm 56:3 says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. We've all faced fears. We've all had those panic moments. We've all had those times. We're overwhelmed. Every one of us have had those. But I will trust in you. As a church, we need to memorize this scripture. When I am afraid, when I feel overwhelmed, I will trust you. The psalmist didn't say, I'll never be afraid. He didn't say that. He just said, this is what I will do. Psalm 91:5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. See, fear is not normal for a child of God. It's not a normal thing we're supposed to be operating in. It's not normal. If you're living in fear, it's not normal. Somebody's controlling you. If you're living in fear, something that is not of God is going on in your life. It's truth. Because let me tell you, from someone that lived there, it's not God. It's the enemy trying to take from you what God's got for you, what he's meant for your life. Be careful what your eyes see. Isn't it interesting that people will pay money to be harassed by a spirit? Be careful what you see.
That's right.
Be careful what you hear. Be careful where you go. And be careful who talks and speaks into your life. Be careful what you pay money to bring torment in this mind. Be careful. The best way to fight fear is to fill our heart and mind with the Word of God. We've got to use it as a sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6, 14, 18. Most of you could quote this, but we're going to read it. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. Daryl and I have been watching some really, really good police. It's called Cam. Body Cam. We've been watching. I mean, they're real stories of what these officers go through. And I said, it just gives me so much more respect, and I want to pray for them more and more and more. But when you read this scripture, the belt of truth, they put on their armor, the breastplate of righteousness, they put that body armor on and hope that there's not a shot that goes in and penetrates that. They put those on, and when there's high-powered rifles and all, they put even a better one on than that. It's supposed to help. And your feet shod with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And I just see them, you know, they're standing, they're ready to go in. In addition to this, take the shield of faith, which will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't go into any battle without your weapons. Don't go into any battle without your armor on. Isn't it something that we are provided with the armor of God? And pray in the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. When we are not in peace and we are in fear, we're dealing with a spirit of fear. Will you stand to your feet? Every good and perfect gift, James 1:17 says, is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. So does not change like shifting shadows. He doesn't change. His goodness is good. His goodness is good at all times, in all situations. It doesn't change. I'm so glad that it does not change. The last fear that I mentioned a while ago was the fear of man. Remember that other people, I don't care how ugly they act, I don't care how ornery they get, just remember their flesh. They're just flesh and blood, just like you are. If the enemy can't stop you in any of these things that we've mentioned, he'll try to stop you with intimidation from other people. He'll try to torment you, because there's always those that want to set you straight. Always. They're always going to be out there. They're always going to be there. They don't like you. You know, I thank God that he delivered me from fear. Because I recognize when he begins to get really ugly and he don't like me and he's saying a lot of really bad things about me, I'm like, turn off the light. Don't listen. Turn it off. Shut it off. Because that's not God's voice speaking. That's not God's voice speaking. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. Don't let fear of man or what man can do unto you, but just know what God can and will do to you. Luke said this I want you all to listen, if you can, tonight to the podcast, because I feel like it was such a good podcast, wasn't it, Chris? That was an amazing podcast. I want you all to listen to that this evening, if you can at all. But Luke had said something, I got my times all messed up, but it might have been a morning, it might have been night, I don't know, because we were here morning and night some this week, and so it all went together. But he came to me, and he was just talking about David and Goliath, and he was talking about how he feels like, you know, we've all just been kind of holding the line. You know, we've just been kind of, we know the enemy's out there, but we've just been holding the line. That's what was happening when David went from the shepherd field up to where his dad gave him a lunch to take to his brothers. He had been with the sheep and all, and he gets there, and here's all the Israelites just holding the line with this big giant out there bellowing and yelling at them and defying God. This was all going on, and David's like, what's going on here? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the army? Israelites were the army of God. They forgot who they were. Let's don't forget who we are. And David's instincts were the right instincts, because he remembered out there in his training. Some of you've been in training. I thought God was going to keep me on the seat forever. I was in training much more longer than I've been preaching the word of God. But that's okay. I learned lots, and I'm still learning lots. He was in training out there in that lonely time, that lonely place, watching sheep. Maybe watching some other shepherds with their sheep. But he'd had to encounter the bear and the lion. Oh, God had been good to David. And when he came and he began to see, something got hold of him. And I believe there's something that's getting hold of God's people that's going to say, enough is enough. I don't want to hold the line anymore. I'm not just going to pray and hope that something's going to happen. Oh, no, I have on the armor of God, and I am going to go toward the enemy. I am not going to play offense anymore, but I'm going to go in the defensive, and I am going to stop what the enemy has meant to destroy my home, my family, my church, the United States of America, our county. Got any Davids in the room today? Got anybody here that believes the word of God for yourself? Do you believe that perfect love casts out fear and doubt of who you are and what he says about you? If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you think that woman's just crazy up there, but if there's just something that maybe you could hang on to, maybe you've gone through, fear has just taken a hold of you, and you find it keep coming back in your dreams. He keeps coming back trying to torment you. If you're here, first of all, and you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you say, I want to give my life to him today. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm just going to ask you, step out of your seat and come. Come to the front. We're going to pray with you. But if you're in this house and you say, I've been that one. I've been so fearful. I've been so afraid. I'm struggling so much. I want deliverance today. I want you to come. I want you to come to the front. Would you come? Would you come?
While she was giving her altar call, I felt impressed of the Lord. I really feel by the Spirit of God that there's three, at least the Lord wanted me to call out three different kinds of people that are dealing with fear. And there's the spirit of death, the spirit of man, and the spirit of failure. These are all under the category of fear. But you have a fear of failure. You're afraid to step out. You might fail, or you won't be as successful as somebody else. You also have a fear of what man may say to you if you do what you feel on the inside that you should be doing. But I know there's at least, I'm going to say at least three people, because I know what the Lord dealt with me. I'm sure there's more. But spirit of fear, spirit of man, a spirit of failure, spirit of man, and a spirit of death, a fear of death. Listen, if you're right with Jesus Christ, you have no reason to fear death. I don't care if you're 25 years old. You have no reason to fear death if you're right with God. The older I get, the more I think about death. And you know what? I get a little bit excited thinking about it now, because I know where I'm going. And so this morning, if you're in one of those three categories, we want to pray with you. But Darlene gave a general altar call for anybody that is dealing with any kind of a fearful spirit. We want to deal with that this morning. Amen. It's nothing. It's not for you to be ashamed of. It's not for you to say, well, I don't want anybody to know, because you know what? You need help. We all need help. And I thank God for the people that's helped me in my days of struggle.
Would you come? Pastor, would you pray for her? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We encourage you, if God is tugging on your heart this morning, don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We just encourage you to step out and let God minister to you today. Go ahead. That's fine.
Say this with me. Spirit of fear, I bind you in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is against you.
And the blood of Jesus testifies that I am free from fear. So get behind me, fear. Get out of my life and stop your torment. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Son has touched me, and I am free indeed. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I am free. The blood testifies, I am free. Father, I thank you. The enemy cannot touch us because we're covered by the blood. I thank you, Lord, that the blood testifies, and the blood applied to the doorpost of our life keeps out that enemy that would steal, kill, and destroy. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. For I know that in Christ I am more than a conqueror. I also know no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. There is more that be for me than that be against me. If God is for me, no one can be successful against me. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Solid rock is free from fear. Fear has no hold on us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everybody just lift your hands. Begin to praise God out loud. Can you do it? Have you got a voice? Can you give him a shout of praise? Can you voice your praise to him today? Can you use your voice to praise him? Hallelujah. You can use your voice to yell at your children. You can use your voice to yell at the car in front of you. Can you use your voice to give God a praise today? Give him a shout. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.